Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. So how are you doing in your new stay-home reality? We really want to know. We're going to be sharing some of your encouragement and prayer requests in our next podcast, and we would love to hear from you. You can send us a message at awordfitlyspoken.life. And once you're on our website, there are several ways to connect with us through Gmail, instant message, Facebook, private tweets, messages that way, all sorts of ways. And here's what we hope you're going to share with us. Prayer request number one, how can we and how can our listeners pray for you in the days ahead?
Right. And what encouragement do you have for other listeners too? Is there a Bible verse you'd like to share? Maybe some advice for how to make the most of your time? We know we need to redeem the time that we've got, maybe read our Bibles more and things like that. We know that we're to trust God, to fear not, and to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what the circumstances. Yes. So I'm really excited about this time of sharing that we're going to have.
Me too, Michelle. And as far as, you know, what personal information you should share, just share your first name and the city or state where you're from. And as we share everyone's input, you may want to listen with a pen and paper so that you can write down a list of things to pray for. So thanks for doing that. Now, for this episode, we're going to talk about how we should trust, but sadly don't trust the Bible sometimes.
That's right, Amy. We need to talk about the doctrine of sufficiency. Maybe some of our listeners have heard that term before. You know, you can believe the Word of God is true and that it's without error, but do you believe it's sufficient, or are you looking for something more exciting perhaps? Did you know that the Bible is all we need to equip us for a life of faith and service? You know, it's really true. The doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture is a fundamental tenet of the Christian faith. Listen to this scripture. You probably heard it before. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. In verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, sadly, Amy, it's a tenet that has long been under attack from within our own visible modern churches. And the minute you step off the doctrine of sufficiency, you step into a world of confusion.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate. And you know, Michelle, most of the apostate movements infecting the church today exist because sufficiency is ignored. You know, people are seeking after signs and wonders, maybe a special word just for them, or health and prosperity. But seeking after those things will ultimately lead to disappointment, perhaps even shipwrecking of your faith. You know, your faith begins to crumble if you follow these things, because maybe you've been promised things that you didn't receive. Or maybe you've sowed financial seeds into ministries and didn't get your increase you were promised. Maybe God didn't make your dream come true. We've heard that one before. Or maybe you didn't experience a shift in the atmosphere or see a gigantic new move of the Spirit. You can't find your destiny, and that stack of books and DVDs has cost you a small fortune. Or maybe you failed to hear the voice of God outside of Scripture speaking to you like He speaks to Joyce Meyer or Beth Moore or Sarah Young, the author of the book Jesus Calling. You know, Jesus Calling only exists because Sarah Young wanted to hear from God outside of the Bible. So, you know, we're going to talk about this a little bit, and I think it's important that we warn you about this book. So as far as our topic of sufficiency, listen to these words of Sarah Young in the intro about how the Bible wasn't enough. And here's the intro to her book. She says, quote, "I began to wonder if I could receive messages during my times of communing with God. I had been writing in prayer journals for years, but that was only one-way communication. I did all the talking. I knew that God communicated with me through the Bible, but I yearned for something more. So I decided to listen to God with pen in hand, writing down whatever I sensed He was saying." Okay, that was Sarah Young in her book, Jesus Calling, talking about how it came to be. And you know, Michelle, that kind of writing that Sarah Young used is an occultic method called automatic writing. This is where you go into a trance and let the Holy Spirit do the writing through you. Now, is it really the Holy Spirit? No, it's not the Holy Spirit, because God never promises to write through us. This is truly the spirit of the age. And you know who else used automatic writing? Beth Moore. That's right. Beth Moore says that when she wrote her book titled When Ungodly People Do Ungodly Things, that the Holy Spirit was actually doing the writing through her without her even having control. Now you can Google that. Just look that up. You know, when we write, we move the pencil, or in some cases the keyboard. In automatic writing, the pencil moves the author.
That's right, Amy. And you know, as I've talked to people who have been involved in the New Age, this is really, like you said, a New Age or even an occultic practice. This is not Christian at all. This is something that has been sort of appropriated from the New Age movement into Christianity. And it's dangerous, because we, you know, the Bible tells us that we're to discern between spirits and to know, you know, what is the spirit of God and what is not of the spirit of God. And I think a lot of people are very confused about that. But, you know, the Jesus and Jesus Calling sounds nothing like the real Jesus. So that kind of helps us understand right. That this is not coming from the Spirit of God. You know, every time you pick up Jesus Calling, you're holding in your hands a false Jesus, a demonic counterfeit, straight from the New Age, straight from the bowels of hell. And my advice is just to throw it out. You have the actual Word of God at your fingertips, and it is 100% true, 100% of the time. So listeners, how many of you have heard or been taught that when we pray, it's a two-way conversation, that we have to listen for a still small voice? I know Lisa Terkurse mm-hmm. teaches this. She teaches that prayer is a two-way conversation. Priscilla Schreier teaches that we have to listen for the voice of God. I think her book, He Speaks to Me, and there's another book she recently came out with along those same lines. So a lot of the popular women's Bible study teachers are teaching this kind of thing. But there's only one place in Scripture where God spoke in a still small voice, and it was to Elijah after his dramatic victory over the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 19. So let's take a look at that passage real quick.
Right.
So this is 1 Kings 19, starting at verse 11. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Amy, do you see in this passage anything about how we're to listen for that still small voice, how we are to do the same thing that Elijah did?
No, not even a little bit, Michelle. And thank you for that. That's such a great passage. And unfortunately, that's the passage that people will use to say that we are to listen for a still small voice. You know, this passage that people use to claim this, that we can hear God speaking quietly to us, That's not what this verse is meant for at all. God is directing Elijah to do something important for him. God did this with his Old Testament prophets all the time. And that verse is a descriptive test. It's describing what happened in history. It is not a prescriptive text prescribing for us a command for today. So again, those two words, descriptive and prescriptive. And once we ask ourselves if a particular verse is descriptive or prescriptive, it's a lot easier to discern, you know, what these verses are meant for and if they're meant for us or not. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 is a great text to go to. And it says that this is how God spoke to his Old Testament prophets. So let's read it right now. It says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." So ladies, today we have scripture. We don't need to be hearing voices. Everything God has said for us is in his written word.
That's right. You know, a lot of times when I'll say that to women, they'll say, "Oh, so you're saying that God doesn't speak anymore?" And I'll say, it's not that God doesn't speak anymore. It's that God has already spoken, and we need to listen to what he's already said without trying to worry about what he might say next, you know, through some still small voice or something like that. Another great passage to look at is in John. It's John 10:27. And in that verse, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That voice is found in the very words of Scripture. There are no new revelations from Jesus. The canon is closed. Nothing else is needed to equip us for a life of faith. His voice is found in every word of the word. The scriptures are his voice. You know, the first chapter of John says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God," and that was Christ. But he is the living word, and all of those words of scripture are completely and utterly sufficient for everything that we need.
Oh, amen. And ladies, keep in mind that sola scriptura means not only is the Bible our inerrant authority without error, scripture alone is our sufficient authority. It is the authority that provides believers with all the truth they need for salvation and then for following Christ. So as Michelle said, no other writings are necessary for this good news to be understood, nor are there any other writings required to equip us for a life of faith. Any thoughts on that, Michelle?
That's so true. And I just think that the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture is so comforting. It brings me so much peace because I don't have to worry about, you know, if I get a feeling, I don't have to sit there and try and figure out what it is. Whether is this from God? Is this from indigestion? Is this because I didn't get enough sleep last night? Is this the devil speaking to me? Because, you know, when we, all those little personal experiences and feelings and thoughts and things like that, those things come from us, little sinful, broken, I know we don't like the word broken these days, but sinful human beings, that, you know, our minds have been marred by sin. Our emotions have been marred by sin. But when we go to the Word of God, that's not the case. You know, those feelings and stuff, those come from human beings, but the Word of God comes from God, the one who is perfect and holy and without error at all. So we can trust that anything that we read in Scripture is completely true and completely relevant to us and able to help us and to make us complete and fit for every good work, just like the passage that we read before. And then also, again, our feelings and everything, those are subjective.
Yes.
But the Word of God is outside of us. It is objective. And so we can know that it's not subject to, you know, our human whims and things like that. It is the indisputable Word of God that can be trusted in every single circumstance, to guide us and to help us, to comfort us for whatever our needs are. The Word of God, that's what we need to go to, not, you know, not listening for voices or anything like that. So
yeah, I agree. And you know, it seems like people do tend to get that mixed up a little bit. They believe that if you just stay within the bounds of Scripture, you're putting God in a box. Have you ever heard that before? Putting God in the box.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and so
definitely
the box that we're talking about is actually the box that God himself created, which is Scripture. And so when we talk about the sufficiency,
right.
That's a box I'm glad to be in. Close the lid, man. I'm in there. And so, yeah, that's, you know, ladies, we don't need
that's
to talk
right.
about our freedom being taken away by simply following the sufficiency of Scripture. And, you know, when we go outside of Scripture, that's when chaos reigns, and that's when we can get swept away, and just about anything goes, right? You know, anything goes. So, you know, it could be God. God did all these things that aren't written in the Bible, right? So, so why not just believe in everything? Everything's possible. Well, ladies, that's why the Bible tells us that the Bible is sufficient, and that's all we need for a life in Christ.
That is so true. And it's so comforting too, because, you know, so many people are so busy looking for a word from God outside the Bible that they never stop to think that there is so much inside the Bible that we've never plumbed the depths of, and that we need to do that. I mean, you need to master what God has already said first before you start looking for something extra. And we're never going to master everything that is in God's word. So
no,
we're not. Need to be sticking our noses in the book, be people of the book. Yeah,
I agree.
And do what God's word says to do.
And, you know, I was listening to a very encouraging sermon this week by a longtime teacher, John MacArthur, and he was saying that, you know, at the end of however many decades, 60 years or whatever it was that he has been teaching, he said, you know, there's still so much more to the Bible than even he can understand and fully grasp. But, you know, even though the Bible is clear, the longer that you're in the Bible, the deeper it gets. And he compared it to like being on a beach with a bucket and saying, you know, this is at the end of 60 years, this is how much, you know, in this bucket, this is how much I've fully grasped all that I need to grasp. And, you know, we don't completely understand everything until we get to glory. But the Bible is very clear on so much. We sometimes make it harder than it has to be, but it is sufficient. And I, for one, and I know you, Michelle, are too, just so thankful that we have the Word to guide us.
Definitely.
All right. Well, you know what? It looks like we're at the end of our time for today. So remember, next week, we are going to read your prayers of encouragement and any advice that you have for one another as we continue to face uncertainty in this time of pandemic.
That's right. And we are not going to give in to a spirit of fear, but we're going to do what the Bible says and trust in the Lord and turn to Him for comfort and peace. So be sure to visit us at our website at awordfitlyspoken.life and give us a like or a follow on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, TuneIn, or Google Play, or any of the popular podcast platforms that are out there.
All right. And thanks so much for tuning into this episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. Until next time, be equipped in Christ alone and walk worthy.